What's up, y'all? I'm Amber, aka Ambie, and this is Ambiguity with Ambie, an interview podcast where I speak to guests who have encountered countless spaces and moments of ambiguity and uncertainty to discover and learn from how they navigated it. Let's get into today's episode. What's up, y'all? And welcome to another episode of Ambiguity with Ambie, where we discuss what it's like to navigate moments of uncertainty and ambiguity. I'm your host, Amber, aka Ambie, and today I am joined by the amazing woman of God herself, Miss Cricket. How are you doing today?
Oh, man, I am super excited to have an opportunity to speak with you today. I'm doing exceedingly well.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, I have had the very, very fortunate thing and favor-filled moments of knowing Cricket for a couple months now, I think. And she has just been so amazing. But I'm going to give her the opportunity to tell you a little bit more about herself and a little bit more about why she's so amazing. So, Cricket, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. Thank you. So I am Cricket Snyder. I am married. We're celebrating my 11th year anniversary in July. Yes, I have two beautiful young daughters. One is 2 years old. So keep me in your prayers. The other is 6. Yes. And the thing that we love to do, our hobby, is travel. Mm-hmm. My husband and I made a decision that because the girls, you know, of course, they're with my first and they're two girls, we wanted mm-hmm. to buy them a lot of little toys and things like that. But we made a decision a while back, especially when travel started to kind of heat back up after COVID, that instead of buying all of these material things, we wanted to make memories together. So our thing mm-hmm. is to take our girls out and just make memories with them, let them explore and see things that we didn't necessarily get a chance to see when we were younger and growing up. I've worked in the corporate arena for about 18 to 19 years at this point, serving 15 of those years in the utilities industry. And then I moved over to healthcare insurance for about 2 years. And that brings me to my current role as the chief compliance officer for Jefferson County Commission.
Which is
Alabama. Yes, yes. And so I am very thankful to sit in this role because of a couple of things. First, it was a role that I had prayed for. I remember asking God, I wanted to have a seat at the table. And then I got more specific. I wanted to have a seat at the table and be able to make decisions at the table. The Holy Spirit kind of showed me how just having a seat was just not enough.
Come on.
That not only if you're giving me a seat, giving me the boldness, the wisdom, the want to make a stand and stand for something that was of integrity and things of that nature. So I wanted a seat at the table as a compliance person. And so I was blessed to be here. The great thing, too, is that Jefferson County Commission has not ever had a compliance office. So I am in the position of implementing and curating their very first compliance office for the actual county and the only one that will be in a county municipality in the state of Alabama. So I'm very, very excited about what we are doing. I've been in the role for literally 1 year. And so this first year, I just came in to number one, try to figure out what is the appetite for compliance here at the county, determine what are the gaps that we have, what are the strengths? Because just because they didn't have a compliance office didn't mean that they didn't already have things going on and, you know, operations and procedures and processes towards compliance. It's just that it wasn't in a formal area, so to speak. And so getting to understand that and then also developing relationships, because what I do want or what I am hoping for is as we move forward, as we build relationships, it's easy to get direction, ask for direction, and do the corrective actions that we're asking. So that's what I've been doing in this year. And we are coming up to some points where we're pulling the trigger on some things, and I'm excited for what we have here.
Hey, oh my goodness. I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you for introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your journey and what you do. But we're going to move into a segment of the podcast that I like to call Fast Five. And in this segment, we get the opportunity to know a little bit more about you beyond what you share in your intro. Okay. So I'm going to ask you five questions, and it could be random questions, either or questions. I just want you to tell me what your answer is. And if there's a reason for it, you got to let us know what the answer is. That sound good?
Sounds great.
Awesome. 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 So you mentioned that right now you are serving the people of Alabama. I am originally from Alabama. So this question is very close to my heart.
Okay.
And it's actually a question that has plagued our community. So listen, we might solve a generational issue with this question.
Okay.
When
okay.
you are making grits.
Okay.
And you've made them, you're preparing them, you're getting ready to eat your grit. Are you going sugar or salt?
Salt all day.
Oh, come on. I know she was saved, y'all. I know she knew the look.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah. It's been some debate out there. It's been some debate in these streets about this sugar versus salt thing. So
some people are just wrong. Salt is the correct,
you know, and I have to pray for them too, you know?
Exactly.
Keep them lifted. We keep the sugar bodies lifted.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So when you're at home, you've made your grits, you know, you've had a good breakfast, but now it's time to clean up. What do you prefer to do? Laundry or dishes?
Dishes.
Really? Okay.
So I do dishes because I can do the dishes and I'm done. Mm-hmm. When I do laundry, there are several steps associated with them. So it's not just a complete task. But when I do the dishes, I wash the dishes and I'm done. If I do laundry, I have to put them in. I have to wait for them to wash. I have to then put them in the dryer. Then I have to wait for them to dry. Then I have to take them out and I have to fold them. Then I have to put them up.
Woo! So
there's a lot more, you know, later.
I don't know. But those last two steps of the laundry, the folding and putting up.
Right.
Absolutely not. Right.
Yeah. I need help on that one.
We all do. Okay. So we got the dishes. So you're doing the dishes, you're doing your cleaning. Who are you listening to? Patti LaBelle or Gladys Knight?
Aretha Franklin, but there wasn't an option, so we'll go.
Come on, listen, I'll accept the Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, I grew up in that home where, you know, it's time to clean up, so you heard music in the background. You knew that it was time to get up and start cleaning up, and so still to this day, when I'm in that mode, you know, of course, when you're doing the deep cleaning, you got to light the candles and you got to get the music going. So Aretha Franklin, greatest hits is typically what I have going when I'm in that realm.
I love it. Okay, so you got Aretha Franklin while you're cleaning. Mm-hmm. But if you are on a road trip,
okay,
from cross country to cross country, from one side to the next, going all the way across, uh-huh, and only listen to one artist.
Okay.
Who you listening to?
Michael Jackson.
Whoo. Okay.
Yeah.
That was quick. You didn't need any time to think about that one.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Mike. He's timeless. You said cross country, so I know that that's going to be a long period of time. And he was a multi-generational entertainer. And so I could go from his childhood as far as Jackson 5 all the way up to when he was doing stuff with Justin Timberlake. I mean, come on. It's just such a wide variety of material there. And I just happen to be just a huge, huge fan of Michael Jackson.
That's what's up. Well, you didn't have any ambiguity or uncertainty in that answer. But in terms of your life, have you ever experienced any ambiguity or uncertainty?
Absolutely.
Right. I feel like most of us have. Can you tell me about a time where you face some ambiguity or uncertainty?
I actually have a couple that I would like to highlight here today. The first was in my intro, I talked about that I had worked within a utilities industry for the one organization for about 15 years. And during my time there, I worked extremely hard to develop a name for myself, make sure that I literally posted as a brand, that my brand was synonymous with excellence. And you know, if you're going to call Cricut, you're going to get it done. Yeah. And all of those things. Well, I had really 14 years been recognized and promoted and seen for those type of work ethic. Okay. So I got to a point though, where I was trying to move up and it was like I had a ceiling and management had changed. The new executives and myself, I just didn't seem to have favor with the individual. Yeah. And so I went from a place of being everybody saying how great I was to then everything I did was questioned. Mm. And it was one of those things where nothing that I did seemed to pan out to be of any good to this particular leader. And so my thoughts were, do I stay, being that I have devoted 14, going on 15 years of my life to developing this brand within this company? Because unfortunately, the whole networking thing was not even a part of my thought process. It wasn't anything that I put any value in because I did all my networking inside the company. Mm. So much so that I literally went from a non-exempt level admin all the way up to management. And so I didn't even have a desire to work anywhere else because I was being fulfilled mentally, socially, it just everything, financially. It was the great company to work for. And so just imagine being on this upward trajectory and then coming to a halt and then feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm getting older. Where else would I go? And then the industry that I was in, it was a, number one, a male-dominated industry. And number two, it was a technical industry. And my profession was compliance. So it wasn't as if I could say, oh, okay, you know what? Since I'm having issues with this supervisor, I'll just go over here and be the accountant. You know, I don't have a CPA. Yeah. I couldn't jump from that. And so I couldn't do that to say, oh, let me go be an engineer. I'll just go be an engineer for the company. Or let me go climb the pole and put the power lines up. It literally, I didn't feel that I had many options.
Yeah.
But once I found myself in the situation of what do I do with 14 years of investment? So that was one thing that caused me some uncertainty there. And the second one was when I jumped and made the leap to leave, you know, there was some uncertainty. Let me just go back and paint the full picture for you and just tell the story. So I decided, as I stated, to leave instead of staying there because it was going to be one of those things that the performance was so critiqued that it was like, let's just demote her. I went literally from, hey, this girl is the best thing since sliced bread to, hey, we're going to reevaluate your job and I think we're going to take away some of these responsibilities. And so it's going to give me a much lower pay. And so I decided at some point I had to make a decision and it was an extremely hard decision. Do I feel that my worth was more than my comfort?
Wow.
It was comfortable to stay there because even if they demoted me two steps, I still was going to be making extremely good money. I still would have been able to live a better lifestyle than I had the previous 10 years, but I had to make a decision which one outweighed my comfort or what I knew that I was worth. And so I ended up leaving. And before leaving, I actually prayed and asked God to give me a peace because I don't hear God audibly. So I knew he wasn't going to say, Cricket, go. But I was like, if I am to do this, I need a peace that surpasses all human understanding. So I pray. I have the support of my husband. I don't have the support of my mom, who was my very best friend. It's not that she didn't support me. She was just scared. She was just like,
it's a different generation.
Yeah, this is a great company. And why would you leave? You know, and all of this stuff. And so I was scared. But I still had a peace. It was almost like a river. I can't even describe it. So I leave. And then I started applying for jobs. And then when I decided to leave, I finally get an offer and it was to do something in compliance as well. Well, I don't know if you know this, but right now people aren't posting salaries So I'm thinking that if you're working in regulatory compliance,
surely
it has to be equal or some footing of the same.
Surely. Right. Sure.
At the bare least. Maybe 5%+/-5% at the
right.
So I go through the interview. We go through all of the steps, and literally it was like 48% decrease in pay. And so then that piece that I had, I started questioning, like, oh my gosh, God, did I hear you right? Was that really peace? Or did I just get enough sleep that week? What was really going on? Like, was that really the peace of God that I felt? I began to just question it. So I will say this, God will meet us where we are, because he connected me with a young lady at the time that was like, oh yeah, all you need to do is just negotiate your pay. And I was like, negotiate? They told me that this is the highest that they would go. And this is about 48% less than what I was making at my other company. And that was just the base salary. It was almost 60% if you put in my bonus. But I wasn't even going to go there. Oh, God. I just asked the Lord to get me where I could live comfortably. And the young lady that he attached me with, who had always been a force in my life, but began to speak to me and said, hey, negotiate your pay. Mm-hmm. And I was able to negotiate almost about $35,000 more than what was offered. So it was still lower, much, much lower, like I said, especially with the bonus. But it put me at a place where literally I was at least comfortable. It didn't put me where I was. I mean, I was still thousands of dollars where I was, but I was able to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, again, when you talk about uncertainty, after the first year, I'm like, okay, God, I know I heard you. I felt like that peace that you gave me to give me the wisdom to leave. And then you open up this door for me, you know, and I say a year, it felt 6 months. I'm like, what's the next move? Are you going to promote me here? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Give me some more peace. Give me some more clarity. I need to know, do I stay here? Do I move on? Do I try to get back? Go back to the utilities company? You know, what do I do? Well, Amber, the most amazing thing happened. Husband and I have been trying to get pregnant. We had our first daughter, and we had her. We purposefully wanted to wait 5 years. We wanted to enjoy ourselves. We wanted to learn each other. We wanted to love on each other, so that once we did bring children into our lives, we already had an established relationship that we could maturely work through there being other factors there. And we did that in 5 years. And just like clockwork, after 5 years, we had my first daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after about 2 to 3 years or 2 years, it's like, okay, let's go ahead and start trying for baby number two. 2 years pass, 3 years pass. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're not doing anything different. I mean, we're working at this thing. So, like, what's really going on?
Right.
And so at the time, my husband noticed, too, that I was doing a lot of traveling. And at first it was cool, you know, because I was flying on the company jet, do all of these investigations. And I'm, you know, doing all this. Well, at this time, though, I have a daughter and I'm trying to have another baby and just trying to make sure that I am in the right places was straining. After I started this job, about 6 months in, I got pregnant. And immediately, our husband said, you must have been too stressed on that other job. And this is why God moved you. This is why God needed to move you away. Because you were stressing, and now your body has just, you're able to be present. And so I was so thankful to God for, you know, it seemed like everything was coming together, like that uncertainty. It wasn't uncertain anymore. You know, the ambiguity was gone. I was walking in what I thought was this purpose. And I was fulfilled with my daughter, but I just wasn't feeling the work that I was doing because it wasn't what I was used to. And then I get to this insurance company, and then the pandemic hit. So I literally was like, oh my gosh, because there was new regulations coming out literally weekly. And I was having to pay close attention because of the accounts that closely were being changed. So the stuff that I was doing was closely being changed, and I had to monitor it constantly. And I just didn't like it. It wasn't hard work, because literally you're just reading regulations and putting the legal jargon into layman's terms and sending it out so that everybody could, you know. And so there wasn't anything hard about what I was doing. I just didn't like it, you know. And then for the things that I prayed for, a seat at the table, it wasn't a table. I mean, I don't even know what we had over there. It wasn't even it may have been a couple of lawn chairs, but it just what in my thought process is what I needed.
Yeah.
So, and then again, it was the pandemic. The great thing about that is the company did not have maternity leave, but because I had my daughter 3 weeks after the pandemic started, I stayed at home with her for her entire first year of her life, entire first year. So it was an amazing, amazing thing. But like I said, it came to the point, though, that I didn't know. I had to begin to pray because I didn't know if this new pull on my spirit was pride. I didn't know if that was pride because, you know, here I am. It wasn't that long ago that I was still making thousands of dollars more and all of that. And don't get me wrong. Let me take this opportunity to give more shots out to God. One of the things that my husband showed me after we got over all of this is that, Cricket, your salary went down significantly, but your lifestyle didn't change at all as a result of it.
Come on.
I said, oh my gosh, you're absolutely right. Even though it was a huge financial impact.
Yeah.
God did not allow our family lifestyle to be impacted
at all.
Come on.
At all.
I mean, I'm going to even go more transparent. I hope my husband is not cringing when he listens to this episode. But like, I remember telling him I wanted this car, this Cadillac Escalade. I'm like, I want an Escalade. And do you know, I was able to get the Escalade during the job when I lost thousands. Not when I've had all the money. Not when I was at this utilities company and bringing in these multi-$1,000 bonuses. But it was when I went to my salary was cut by 60%.
Wow.
And then I negotiated it to where it was only cut by about 20 to 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was able to even afford to get this car that I had always dreamed of and wanted to have. It was during that space. And so for anyone that needs to hear this, and you're dealing with uncertainty, especially when it comes to your job, if you are truly trusting God and you're truly listening and asking Him for wisdom, He is going to ensure that there is nothing that you lack as a result of your obedience to Him. I am a huge testament to that. And not only am I a huge testament, I called God out on it. Now, Joseph had a dream. I don't know if you remember this Bible story in Exodus. Joseph had a dream that his brothers and his dad and his mom were at one point wanted to bow down to him. His brothers absolutely was like, that's trash. You are wrong, little boy.
Right.
Daddy already liked you more than he liked us, and we're not feeling you. They upset. So one day they come up and they say, you know what? We're just going to take him out the game. Right. One of his brothers said, no, guys, you're going too far. We don't have to take him at the game, but let's just sell him. Let's just sell him.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I took note of how even in all that happened in Joseph's life, he got sold. He started working for this man named Potiphar. Potiphar saw the favor on Joseph's life. And even though he was sold to him, he still put him in positions of authority.
Yeah,
he was sold, and where most people would have him outside doing things, he was put in this person's house and given favor to pretty much rule everything within the house. Well, you know, favors sometimes will put you in situations where people don't like that and they try to cross you. And so what happened? Potiphar's wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jojo, you're looking good over there.
What it be?
And one of the things that I love about that particular part is it said Joseph ran. He didn't even ponder. He didn't say, you know what? If I go with her,
yeah,
I already have a lot, but man, my life will be really, really good. But he made a statement. He said, I can't sin against this man, and I'm not willing to sin against God. And so he ran out. Well, guess what? As a result of him running, the lady now has told a lie to her husband that this man tried to rape her. Well, the husband, in my heart, now, you know, it's just me. I feel like he knew his wife.
He knew his wife.
Oh, she was out here talking about it. And so what he did was put him in a prison, but it was like the king's prison, which there was like two different prisons. You could be in the bottom of the bottom prison, or you can be kind of like the Club Med, if you will, what they talk about here in the United States. And so they put him in that prison, and even the guards saw the favor of God on this man's life, to where they put him as, you know, we'll go to lunch. We're just going to let Joseph take care of this. Joseph, I know you. He began to be the guard, you know, the helper of the guards, do those tasks. I brought that story up because even when we're in situations that in our minds are just dire, you know, again, I'm relating it back to me. I'm making significantly less money. God still made sure I was shown favor. God still made sure that I was given provision. God still made sure that he was setting up people in my life to help me along life's journey. And so we have to make sure that we don't get into this arena of feeling sorry for ourselves or even prideful, because I had to do this self-examination because I'm like, okay, now I had the baby and I'm like, okay, hoorah. Great. But what's next? There was still a fulfillment in what I needed to do. So then I started applying for other jobs. And like I said, I'm still asking God, like, are you going to do a work for me at this particular company? Or am I being prideful for wanting to just move on? Because to be honest, after moving on from a 15-year career, I was just like, oh, it ain't nothing for me to move now. Ain't no time gonna hold me back. And so I started looking, and there was a well-known university that was hiring for an associate risk and compliance officer. Mm-hmm. So I had applied for that position along with the chief compliance officer position at Jefferson County Commission. Well, the associate position would have been reporting to the chief compliance officer. But it was you still had a seat at that table that I was talking about earlier. So I applied for that job. I had two interviews. And then during the second interview, I got a call from Jefferson County to start the interview process for the chief compliance position. Well, I get in that position. It was an interview process that I had never heard of or seen before. It was just something so different. That it was just the craziest thing. And I knew I had prayed, because I never go into those situations without praying. And I asked God, please turn the heart of man towards me, Lord God, and all of these things. But of course, you know, we're always our worst critics. I was like, and then I found out that they were taping us. I didn't know this ahead of time. And I remember this to this day. I remember during one of the break periods, I love Reese's Cups. And I remember putting a whole Reese's cup in my mouth. Didn't even take paper off. And I remember trying to get the paper out of my mouth. And I was like, oh my gosh, they were taping me. And so they're going to be like, there's no way we're going to have this idiot anywhere in this courthouse with these type of shenanigans. Like, this person didn't even know how to take the wrapper off the doggone Reese's cup. No, this is not.
They be like that sometimes. No.
You know, it's not the type of talent we're trying to bring here at Jefferson County. So in my head, that was just like, once they got to that part of the video, I knew that they were going to be like, no, on to the next. And so I started getting excited about the position at the university, and rightfully so, because I then got called for a third interview. Mm. Had the interview. I thought it went. This was the one interview that I was like, oh, in the bag, like.
Buzzer shot going up.
I have made
it.
The winning shot. I'm like walking upstairs telling my husband, you know, just call me associate risk and compliance officer. It is in the bag. So 1 week goes by, 2 weeks go by. I'm like, you know, hey, this is around the holidays. No big deal, you know. Right. So then I actually met with Candace and was like, hey, is there, because this is third week now. All up until now, it's been constant communication third week. And I'm like, hey, should I send a letter? And she helped me craft up a classy letter to say, hey, just wondering. It never received a response from that. I went from being constantly communicated with to being totally, they basically ghosted me. But here is the issue. I wanted to bring this point up. When they ghosted me, all of the thoughts of failure, all of the thoughts of inadequacy, all of the thoughts of I must be doing something right, like the person at the utilities company that all of a sudden started nitpicking at my work, my thoughts went to there had to be something right about what they were saying, because how did I get this far? And then no answer, no return, no nothing. And I began to question my own abilities and my own way of success. You know, like I must not be as good as I thought I was. And the Holy Spirit helped me to reel those thoughts in. And this is with this. You are in yourself not. But because I am living in you, you are more than anything that they have asked you to do. You can exceed and you can excel in any and every test that is set before you, but not because of Cricket, because Cricket in itself, no, you don't have a PhD, Cricket. You didn't go to law school, Cricket. So when they told you that to be this compliance director at position at the utilities company, you needed a law degree, you don't have that, Cricket. However, I've never told you through my word that you had to get things the conventional way. I never told anyone that was doing anything on my behalf that you had to do it the conventional way. The only thing that I've ever asked you to do is believe me, ask for wisdom, and be obedient. And if you do those things, I will ensure that you have everything that you need to get, and not just get. This is the important piece here.
Yeah.
To get and be successful. Because it's one thing to get it. It's one thing to get it.
Come on.
But it's a different thing to be successful and to understand God. Here are the conversations that I have with God, even about this role today that I'm in today. Mm-hmm. Lord God, you gave me this role. You put me in this position, and I believe you put me here to have a godly presence, to help your agenda go forth in the county of Jefferson, as well as in Alabama. And me on my own, I don't have the strategic thinking skills to move a political arena forward, but I know you do. And I ask you right now to give me the wisdom, give me the strategic actions to put into place. Help me to lead this organization, because you have given me people to manage. Help me to be a blessing in their lives. Help them to have every resource needed to help push me and your agenda forward. Lord God, change rules and regulations on our behalf so that anything that is set up as a barrier is removed.
Yeah.
And when I have those talks and those prayers with God, then my thoughts go from, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this, to, all right, I'm sitting in this computer. What should I write in this email?
Yeah.
You tell me what to write in this email. And I may not know what to write, but guess what? Somebody will call me and say, hey, Cricket, I was just thinking, you know that safety program that you were talking about that you didn't have the experience in? Here are some things that I got from my previous job. I'm going to send them your way. And maybe that'll help get you focused. Or, oh my goodness, we're implementing this new program. One of my employees came into my office and was like, hey, I just recently had to do an obituary for one of my family members. And one of the systems we use was crafter, some application.
Yeah.
And she was like, I began to utilize that to kind of put out what our web presence should be.
Wow.
Well, guess what? I had just been praying about, Lord, I don't have that type of expertise. Where am I supposed to get that from? And he brought the expertise from somebody that's currently already reporting to me.
Come on.
So I didn't have to spend any money, didn't have to go ask or beg anybody to utilize their time on my behalf. He already set up what I needed. And so we have to trust in those times of uncertainty, in those times of questioning our own abilities, in those times of questioning our own existence. You have to know that Jeremiah 29:11 is real. And he knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. And he had a plan for us. He didn't just know us. People were like, okay, Amber, I see her impacting the world. And I am going to set forth the stones and the places and the people needed to help her on this journey. Mm-hmm. And then he's told you, I feel, Amber, I'm going to set forth those things in your spirit. Yeah. And I need you to be obedient to the things that I am telling you to do. You know, Abraham had a choice to make. I prayed for this young boy. I prayed for this son. And then all of a sudden, the Lord telling him to sacrifice the son.
Right.
Like, God, stop playing. Like, you know some other stuff, God. But you know what Abraham did? You know what Abraham did? And this is one of the great things. This is one of the things that I get from him and I love.
Yeah.
He woke up early in the morning. He didn't ponder it. He wasn't like me. He wasn't like, you on some other type of stuff. Like, I'm going to get my son and we should instead. I know you are everywhere, but I am. It's a rock that I'm about to find that you ain't going to see me up.
Come on.
But you know what? He didn't do that. He trusted God so much that the word says he got up early that morning. He got up early to be obedient to God. He woke up early.
Yeah.
And I have to tell myself, even when I get frustrated with myself, and don't get me wrong, I also don't want to give this illusion that those thoughts don't come in my mind literally.
Of course, you know, worry
me. They come in my mind literally daily. Before we got on this podcast, you asked, how are you doing? And I had to say, you know what? To be honest with you, you know, for real. And and what I had to train myself to do, and it sounds silly, I know, but every time those thoughts come in my mind, I've had to train myself to rebuke them and put something else in my mind. So when it came to,
you don't have what you need to get this thing going.
Satan, I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm replacing that thought with, I have everything that I need to be successful. I have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example. My child, we are, as an African-American family here in this area, we're trying to figure out, okay, what diverse community can we put her in that's going to be useful for her with diversity as well as a high level of learning achievement?
Yeah.
And so most of the schools, when you talk about high levels of achievement, some of them are private. Now, we have an array of good public schools, but we're just not zoned for them. And so my thoughts were, okay, let's put her in this school. Well, she's in that school and academically she's okay, but I feel like she's now questioning, why don't I look like that? Why do I have
wow.
Or, you know, why am I here? And I'm not in the process of straightening or relaxing her hair and putting the heat on it. So it's like, why can't I wear my hair now, Mom? And I'm like, because when it rains, it's going to shrink up and you're not going to like it. You know, like those type of conversations. And recently, me and my husband were like, oh my gosh, you know, like, what do we do? What do we do? And I had to tell myself even then.
Yeah.
God has given me wisdom on every single thing in my life. Why would he stop here? And then on top of that, just like I proclaim that he loves me, and I proclaim that a lot, I had to understand he loves my daughter too. So he's
absolutely
at risk putting her or us, not giving us the wisdom on what to do with her
to give her the best upbringing because he knows that I have been very fervent in my prayer. Lord God, we're putting her in situations that we are already thanking you for, that you have set and planted people that will partner with us, that will be a blessing to our child. And so I can't be praying that and then feel that he's not going to tell us where she should go or even make room for her wherever he tell her to go. I have to honestly rebuke those thoughts each time they try to enter my thought process.
Mm.
So, yeah, and it's been an amazing thing that I work with each and every day. Every single day I wake up and realize that there's spiritual warfare that I have to be cognizant of and that I have to ensure that I prepare myself mentally to stay on path for obedience, because it is definitely better to be obedient than sacrifice. So I try to make sure that I be as obedient as I can, because when I don't, to be honest with you, all it does is causes me to worry. And that's my biggest indication of whether I am trusting, whether I'm relying on God or whether I'm relying on self. When I'm relying on God, even when I don't have it figured out, I still sleep like a baby. When I'm relying on God, I literally trust that even though I don't know the next steps, you know, it's not for me to know, you'd have made a way.
Yeah.
When I am up worrying regarding, oh my gosh, I have this meeting. What am I going to say? Or how is it going to go? I know then you don't trust anything that you just pray.
Because
if you did, you would know that God has turned the heart of man towards you. You would know that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance anything and everything that needs to be said. You will know that even if you make a mistake, God can cause your mistakes to prosper. Mm-hmm. And then you move on from there. And when I am not in that thought process, I know that I'm trying to rely on my own knowledge, my own skills, my own abilities to set forth something that I don't have the knowledge, skills, and abilities to do. But I can only do them. And not only can I do them, I can excel in them when I trust in, rely on the wisdom of God to push me forward.
Oh, my goodness. That's so good. Oh, my goodness. That was so good. You took us through the concept of being dedicated to a specific professional space and getting to a place where you encounter a ceiling of sorts for individuals that don't necessarily want to allow you to proceed. And you took us through the transition of going into this new space, not realizing that what most people would consider a setback really looked like a step forward for you in your personal life. And then even beyond then, getting to this place of even greater increase, like because you were able to continue to go after your dreams and your desires. And in the midst of all that, you gave us amazing advice and dropped so many, many words and nuggets of wisdom, even had a word for me. I appreciate it and receive it. Thank you. So for those people that are listening right now and facing maybe similar ambiguity and uncertainty or something a little different, for those people and also for myself, what final advice would you have for us?
I think my final advice would be to trust the process. One of the things that I neglected to kind of point out even in this discussion is the time frames. You know, when I left the utilities company and I was in this space, that was a course of almost 2 years. So just imagine, you know, it was about 18 months. And so just imagine trusting God, thinking you heard God, leaving the job that you've been at for 15 years and doing it because you thought you heard God and felt very confident about it. Well, most of the time we are in a microwave society where, okay, if I've heard you, God, I'm expecting something to take place
right now,
you know, because I'm being obedient. I heard you. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to be patient with this process. it was almost 2 years that I'm sitting here. Like I said, I'm happy I had my daughter, but I'm still not at the table that I thought we prayed, that me and God discussed. You know, I thought we was clear on this thing that, you know, you told me Mark 11:24, I could have a thing that I decided as long as I pray. And I'm like, so where are we? And I feel like sometimes we give up in that space. And I often wonder if I would have just felt sorry for myself and allowed the inconsistent thoughts of Satan to permeate my mind, if I would have even applied for
other positions.
Wow.
You know, I even will go as far back as to say when I was at the 15-year utilities position, because I was so comfortable there and I just knew that my elevation at this seat at the table that I had been praying for years, that it was going to manifest at the utilities. I just knew it. I just knew it. And when it didn't look like that, my thoughts were, I don't know how he's going to do it. Like, how am I going to do it? And had I not gotten uncomfortable in that space, I never would have started looking because I was so comfortable. I loved what I was doing. I was being praised and honored for what I was doing. I feel like it was meant to be shaken up so that I could be in the space that I'm in now. So don't despise those moments that you deem as those valley experiences, because it was the valley that even put me in the right mindset to even apply for something. Because otherwise, I had already financially, speaking with my financial planner, speaking with my husband, this was the company that I would retire from.
Wow.
And I never would have even thought to look on a job board, look for anything. And now I'm in a position that I get to create the table. I don't get to sit at it. I am building the table. There is no compliance office. I am building it.
Wow.
And so he gave me, he exceeded. When I tell you his words, I'll give you exceedingly abundantly above all that you could think or ask. This is exceedingly abundantly above anything that I could have even thought that I wanted. And so we have to be careful not to despise that period of time when we have to just trust him. And we have to be very mindful of the thoughts that Satan will try to use to permeate and abort the desires that God has placed on the inside of us. We really have to be very, very vigilant of that. So if I had any last words of advice, it would be that be patient, understand, you know, even to let people, pastors and stuff, tell their story. We see them in the mega church and we see them doing good and we see all this. But sometimes we don't always hear the story of, I started out at the house doing Bible study and I then went from the house to doing it at this place. And then I went to this place, you know, and even to my Escalade. I had a focus first.
Okay. Focus.
And then from there, I had a Pontiac Solstice. From there, I had a Durango. From there, I had a Escalade. My thing is, we don't spend enough time talking about that process. There is a process. I didn't just come here. You plant the seed. You have to water the seed, and then you get a sprout, then you get the full corn in the head. It's a process. And sometimes we get lost in the process. And just when the Holy Spirit was telling me about planting the seed, what happens to so many of us, Amber, is once we plant the seed and we know that we're going to receive a harvest, we know that.
Absolutely.
But sometimes when we don't see that sprout, we stop watering it. And guess what? When you stop watering it, you don't receive the harvest. Nothing comes from an unwatered seed. Nothing comes from an uncultivated ground. And so we will stop watering it and then wonder, oh, what's going on? But we have to continue, even when we don't see. We have to continue to water and cultivate that ground and make sure that it has everything that it needs to sprout. And so we have to make sure we do that, because if we get weary,
If I would have gotten weary when I was at the insurance company, if I would have just said, you know what, Lord, you know, life has been good. I got my car and I'm able to travel, do what I want to do. You know, this is just it. I never would have made it to this place.
Yeah.
Never. So we have to make sure that we don't stop watering those seeds that he have placed on the inside of us.
Ooh-wee. When I tell you that you have given us some words on today, Pastor Cricket. Oh, my goodness. Cannot thank you enough for taking the time to engage in the space of vulnerability and share so much of your story. And like I said before, so much wisdom and so much knowledge just sprinkled throughout the entire story and the entire journey for people that want to continue to have this conversation, because it's such an amazing and rich and full conversation to have. How can they connect to you? Can you tell the people where they can find you?
Yeah, so because of my position, I don't have a large array of social media presence, but I am on LinkedIn, and you can just search my name, Cricket Snyder, C-R-I-C-K-E-T. Snyder is S-N-Y-D-E-R.
Wow. I completely understand not having that much social media. I'm still working on that part myself. But thank you so much for telling the people how they can find you. And thank you for all that you shared on the podcast. You are so, so, so appreciated.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate you for setting up this platform to allow people to share the things that God has placed in them for them to share. And as you prayed earlier, I'm just thankful that anyone that is hearing this, that they will be blessed from not only this episode, but every episode that you have produced and placed out there for listeners to hear.
Absolutely. I receive that. And thank you for that as well. And to the listeners, thank you so much for tuning in this week. I challenge you to really consider the seeds that have been placed within your life. And then from that point, really consider what you are doing to water them. And as you continue to cultivate them, remember to be patient and trust the process. Until next time, I'll talk to you later on Ambiguity with Ambi. Thanks for listening to this episode of Ambiguity with Ambi. I'm your host, Amber Latrice, and I hope you enjoyed our discussion about navigating the uncertain and ambiguous parts of life. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to help support the podcast, please be sure to share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at I Am Amber Latrice. Thanks again. And until we connect next time, I encourage you to embrace the uncertain and ambiguous moments of life. Talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambi.